You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ida Wegman, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, formerly known as Fundamentals of Therapy, translated by Anna Moyes. This is Chapter 13, entitled On the Nature of Illness and Healing. Pain occurring somewhere in the organism is living experience in astral body and eye. Both the astral body and the eye are involved in the physical body and the etheric body in a specific way, for as long as the human being is in the waking state. When sleep comes, the physical and the etheric body perform the organic activity on their own. The astral body and the eye are then separate from them. In sleep, the organism returns to the activities that came at the starting point of its development, in the embryonic period and early infancy. In the waking state, processes coming at the end of human development, processes of aging and dying, predominate. At the beginning of human development, we have predominance of etheric body activity over astral body activity. The latter gradually increases in intensity, and etheric body activity moves into the background. In sleep, the etheric body does not gain the intensity it had at the beginning of life. It continues at the intensity it developed relative to the astral in the course of life. In every organ of the human body, the specific intensity of etheric activity allotted to it at every stage in life corresponds to a specific intensity of astral activity. It depends on the right relationship. If the astral body is to be able to involve itself in the etheric body as appropriate or not. If it cannot do so because etheric activity is reduced, pain develops. If the etheric body develops a level of activity that goes beyond the normal, interpenetration of astral and etheric activity becomes particularly intensive. This gives rise to pleasure, a feeling of ease. We simply have to understand that beyond a certain level, pleasure becomes pain, and conversely, pain becomes pleasure. If we ignore this, the above statement might appear to contradict earlier statements. An organ becomes diseased if the etheric activity allotted to it cannot develop. Take metabolic activity, for instance, which extends throughout the organism from the digestive process. If the products of metabolism are always completely converted to activity and substance configuration in the organism, this is a sign that the etheric body is functioning in the right way. If, however, substances are deposited along metabolic pathways and do not become part of the organism's activity, the ether body's functionality is reduced. Physical processes normally stimulated by the astral body, but serving the organism only within their sphere, go outside their own sphere and enter into that of etheric activity. This gives rise to processes that owe their existence to the predominance of the astral body. These processes have their rightful place where aging, involution of the organism occurs. It is now a question of establishing harmony between etheric and astral activity. The etheric body needs to be strengthened, the astral body weakened. This may be done by taking the physical substances, which the ether body processes to a level where they accept that activity more easily than happens in the diseased state. The eye organization also needs to be given strength. For the astral body, whose activity is oriented toward the animal, will be inhibited to a greater degree than otherwise if the eye organization is strengthened in the direction of human organization. A way to penetrate these things perceptively will be found if we observe the activities some substance or other develops along the metabolic pathways. Take sulfur, for instance. It is found in protein. It, therefore, is the basis of the whole process which occurs when protein food is taken up. Sulfur proceeds from foreign etheric nature through the inorganic state to the etheric activity of the human organism. It is found in the fibrous matter of organs, in the brain, in nails and hair. It therefore passes along the metabolic pathways, going as far as the periphery of the organism. It proves to be a substance that plays a role in taking proteins into the sphere of the human ether body. The question arises whether sulfur also has significance in the transition from the sphere of etheric activities to that of astral activities, and whether it has anything to do with the eye organization. It does not noticeably combine with inorganic substances introduced into the body to form acids and salts. Such a compound would be the basis for taking sulfur processes into the astral body and eye organization. Sulfur, thus, does not enter into these. It develops its activities in the sphere of the physical and the ether body. This is also evident from the fact that increased sulfur intake into the organism causes sensations of dizziness and reduced consciousness. Sleep, the state of the body in which astral body and eye organization are not active as soul qualities, also becomes more intensive with increased sulfur intake. We can see from this that sulfur, given as a medicine, makes the organism's physical activities more inclined to accept the intervention of etheric activities than they are in the diseased state. The situation is different with phosphorus. It is found in the human organism as phosphoric acid and phosphates in protein, fibrous matter, in the brain, in the bones. It pushes in the direction of the inorganic substances that have significance in the sphere of the eye organization. It stimulates conscious activity in man. It therefore brings about sleep in a way that is the opposite to that of sulfur. So that stimulation of conscious activity is followed by sleep. Sulfur, on the other hand, brings about sleep by increasing unconscious physical and etheric activity. Phosphorus is present in the calcium phosphate of bones, which are organs subject to the eye organization, when it uses external mechanical activity to effect bodily movement, and not when it acts from within, in growth, regulation of metabolism, etc. Phosphorus will, therefore, prove medicinal if the pathological condition consists in hypertrophy of the astral region over the eye organization, and the latter has to be strengthened so that the astral is pushed back. Consider rickets. It has been said earlier on that it is due to hypertrophy of etheric and astral activity and leads to inadequate involvement of the eye organization. If we first treat it with sulfur in a suitable way, etheric activity is strengthened relative to astral activity. If we let phosphorus treatment begin after this, the process we have been preparing in the ether organization is taken over into that of the eye. We thus counter rickets from two sides. Parenthesis, we know that phosphorus treatment for rickets has been put in doubt. However, the attempts at treatment made until now have nothing to do with the method described here. Close parenthesis. The end of chapter 13.